Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.
Wow, everybody. Good evening, everyone. That was a public service announcement from NASGA, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. We always thank them for letting us use their commercial. Anyway, let's see. Today is July 21st, 2021, another week of a radio show this month. You are listening to Face Us Radio on the Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio, the Inside Scoop. My name is Luann Fleming, and I am one of your co-hosts tonight. I do have my other ones with me. Let's see if I can bring Hillary on. Hillary?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for listening in. And again, it'll be a great show. And we, of course, have to thank our guests tonight for making time to, unfortunately, tell us about the nightmare that they lived through in probate.
Yeah. Right, and we all, yeah, I know, Marcy, or Hillary, and then we're going to be talking a little bit after the show. We're going to try to get all our guests on first, talk about what's going on, then talk about what's going on in different places. So anyway, we also have Marcy with us tonight.
Hi, Marcy.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Hillary,
yeah,
and congratulations, Hillary, for being in the task force. I just saw that on TV. You did great. Hey. Tip it away. You know, you must feel so good and proud of yourself for all that
well,
hard
do
work
together,
that you have
friends.
Done.
We do it together.
There you go.
No. Yeah. But you are so dedicated. And you know what? I always say that hard work pays off, especially when you're working for a cause that you are really caring for the elderly and the disabled. And you are just giving up your time. I am so glad that you are such a big part in Florida to bring this abuse into light because it is. Our elderly
Congratulations,
do not deserve it.
I posted that up on Facebook. Police against court embezzlement.
I just saw it.
We're going to have it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Kudos to you, Hillary, and I'm there if I can go.
That's so cool. That's so cool. I can't wait for
listen
and see what's going to happen. We're going to have Hillary talk more about that after our guests come on. But I tell you what, I know for a fact that we're going to have a full radio show tonight. It's already lighting up, and so we're going to try not to talk over anyone. And if that happens, I will call out your names to speak. Remember, all of our radio shows are recorded and archived, and we'll be taking calls from our listeners in about 45 minutes. And to do that, you call this number, 845-241-9962. You press A1. 845-241-9962. You press A1, and that will let me know that you have a question or a comment. And you can also make sure that any of these links that I send out, you can always view them anytime at your leisure. You can share them. They're always good for this episode wherever you go. So just want to let people know that the link is good even after the show as a post-recorded option. Thank you, Elliot, for telling me about that, to explain that on our radio shows. That's Elliot Bernstein. Anyway, Gosh, we got a really loaded show tonight. And by the way, Robin Austin, he's not coming back until probably August, middle of August or so. He is up in a film called Horn in the West up in Boone, North Carolina. He's in a play out there. So if you get up there to North Carolina, go and see him. He's a remarkable actor. Anyway, we got a really good show tonight. I'm going to first talk a little bit about it. And we have two guests on tonight. And first of all, one of our main guests is Carrie Brenneman. She's here in Colorado, and I finally got to meet her over Facebook or over FaceTime. And let me tell you a little bit about her. On December 25th, 2013, Carrie had a brain abscess on her frontal lobe area, then a car accident on February 10th, 2017. In March of that year, she was having memory issues. Carrie, now she's only 48 years old, ended up in a conservatorship in Colorado through a divorce. So I want everybody to know that, through a divorce. The attorney said Carrie was no longer able to take care of herself, and we know where this leads to. Anyway, yeah. Her short-term memory comes and goes, but able to take care of herself, and when you listen to her tonight, there seems like absolutely nothing wrong with her. Carrie worked for American Family Insurance and owned a mortgage company, lost her home in Castle Pines to foreclosure, lost an apartment and 90% of the belongings. Carrie has a license and is allowed to drive. Now, you guys remember how everybody takes their licenses away when they're in conservatorship or guardianship. Remember that. Her monthly income is $11,200, and she can correct me if I'm wrong about this. She gets $300 a week, and her rent is paid. Ooh. How much is the conservator making? We're going to talk about this. You know, Carrie wants her life back, and it's just not Brittany. It's just not Brittany. So this is conservator abuse in my terms, and everybody on that radio show knows exactly what that is. He's right here behind me. So we're definitely going to be bringing on our guests tonight. Let me see if I can find them in my queue.
Can I introduce him to Gloria?
Yes. They just came by and took my puppy away. Anyway, we're going to be bringing on Carrie and Kylie. So, Carrie, are you with us?
I am.
Dear.
How are you tonight?
Good evening.
Good, good. Welcome to the radio show. And Kylie, you're with us tonight.
And Kylie's here, too. Yay.
Yeah, Kylie's here, too. And yeah. These are our guests tonight. And remember that this couple actually got a divorce, and look at them. They are still talking about what happened. So maybe this brought you guys closer. We're going to actually talk to you a little bit about this because a lot of people don't understand it, that when you go into any kind of a court setting, whether it's a probate court, whether it's a family court, whether it's a divorce court, whatever it is, a juvenile court, you are running the risk of having your loved ones taken away, your estate pillaged, and you are definitely under control of a conservator or a guardian. And that's exactly what happened to Carrie in this stand. So I'm going to bring Carrie on right now. And, you know, when you talk to her, she doesn't seem like too much wrong with her. And you ask yourself, why is she under conservatorship being only 48 years old? And I wanted to make this loud and clear out here in Colorado, especially since we've had Channel 7 News out here with Jennifer Kowaleski. She has introduced me to a couple of legislators. So I've been talking to a few already, and they also have a bill that's already, they're thinking about already some bill titles to go in this next session. So I'm hoping that people can get down there, all the families can get down there and talk about what is going on with conservatorship abuse. I'm sure, Carrie, you and Kylie will both be there. And I'm hoping to get you on the news stations as well. So let's go ahead and talk to Carrie first. Carrie, so tell us a little bit about your brain issues that you're having. I know you're having a little bit of memory problems. Can you just kind of start out at the beginning? And Kylie is there to help you if you need help. Okay, go ahead.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, in 2013 on Christmas, I stopped speaking and making sense, couldn't wake up, and I ended up having what they thought was a tumor on my brain, on the left front lobe, that is actually an abscess with strep and staph. So had major surgery. My doctor at Sky Ridge was Dr. Rosino. Absolutely saved my life. Got a little bit better with family support, community. And then in February of 2017, I was in a no-fault car accident, and I had my exact surgery site slam into my car window, and the airbags didn't deploy.
Oh.
So that just sort of leveled me out again, going back to memory issues, and not so much as hard on me, but we have three children, Kylie with my husband, and I think it's got to be fundamentally difficult to be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
Wow.
Just hoping when we were finalizing our divorce, and because I was in a car accident, I thought it would be a good idea to have a conservator, a special limited conservator, help us for 6 months. And my first conservator, he ended up embezzling a lot of money from us. It's horrible. Second conservator, we're having a really difficult time because she has trumped my medical doctors and their treatment plans. And she doesn't pay them anymore, so I cannot see them again. So I'm excited to get into court. I'm sad to see everything that happens to everybody's family, but I really hope with everything that's happening with Britney Spears, it will bring and shine a light on this, because the attorneys, every attorney I've spoken to, will say, Carrie, you're never getting out of this. You're never getting out of this. So I don't know the who, what, when, where, why, on how we would ever have some integrity of that process, because my doctors and I cannot figure out who has overruled them on this to protect me.
Well, you know, and for them to sit there and say that you're never going to get out just shows to me a lot of red flags, because people are able to get better. They're able to get on with their lives. And, you know, if Britney Spears can get out of conservatorship, whatever her problem is, so can you and so can everybody else. The only reason they keep people on there is because of the money assets. And I know for a fact, you know, that I know that you've seen this in your case, that they're stalling their time and they're getting paid very well. Now, it's, to me... You make $11,200 a month, right?
Yep, that's my net check.
So exactly, what are you getting? What are you getting out of that?
She pays my rent and utilities. It's around $2,800 a month, and she does pay for. Or she gives me. It was $400 a week, but she decreased it to $300 a week. And I believe this month, it will go down to 275. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, 275.
How much is she getting paid?
Yeah, hold on a second.
She gets $11,200, but she doesn't provide any books. I have the first quarter of 2021 and the 2020, but since March, I have not received any billing explanations. They don't have a business contract or business policies and procedures. They simply use the JDF forms in Colorado that award them the conservatorship.
Tennessee,
how much does she charge you?
Is she articulate?
Hold on. Let's go with Marcy. Go ahead, Marcy, and then I'm going to go ahead and talk to Kylie.
Okay. I want to know how much is she charging for an hour, and how much is she making on a monthly basis?
I don't know. She gets out about $400 to me a week, and I just think that I don't know where it's going. The first and the last quarter that I've done business with her, they have complete control over all of the fund, and they don't release anything to it.
Wow.
It's difficult. I know that my account seems to run at like $1,000 balance. I went to go buy prescriptions yesterday, and the card declined. So I don't know. They're not transparent. I asked them to give me like the parameters of their billing, and they said no. They had to check with their resources, and I never found out. But they're my second conservator that's been awarded without a bond. The bond was waived those times on my conservators.
Okay.
Wow. Is that the same judge?
Yeah.
Have you always had the same judge?
I had Judge Hurst right now. Before, when I initially asked for this, I was with or under Judge Kramer.
Right.
In Douglas County,
and that's
Colorado.
All, that's all in Douglas County out here in Colorado. So, so if anybody wants to see the cases, I think you can probably pull them up. But you know what? We're under Colorado Open Record Act, and nobody's allowed to see anything in this state. So I just want to let everybody know that. Kylie, you have something to say, and then Hillary has something to say. Go ahead, Kylie.
I was just saying, if you can hear her talk, she's very articulate. She's very smart. She's smarter than I am. I'm a business owner, but she's 10 times smarter than I'll ever be. And what is going on is crazy and ridiculous. Paying to the conservator per month are $2,500 plus per month.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's horrifying.
And we have kids that need mental support because they have bipolar disorder. And if we had that money to put towards them, it'd be huge. But she has
no
money to do anything.
Yeah. I know. And I absolutely agree. They're just robbing our families. And they're, you know, they robbed my family so bad that I have a homeless brother that's been, he lived in a camper at my driveway for 3 years and in my sister's driveway for a year and a half. And he's barely has a used camper sitting out on the street somewhere. And we used to be millionaires. So I understand what you're talking about, you know. So it is robbery. I'm just going to say it is. It's theft, okay, in my opinion. Anyway, Hillary, you have something to say as well.
Well, I'd like to ask our guest a question. You said that, you know, after your accident that, you know, you thought maybe you would need someone and going through a divorce to transition. Was the conservatorship voluntary? Did you apply for it? Or
I asked, my doctors and I asked for it.
Oh, okay, then let me just respectfully stop you. If it's a voluntary guardianship or conservatorship, why can't you petition the court to stop the guardianship? You were the one that said you wanted it, right? And so, I mean, at least in my state, if it's a voluntary guardianship, all you have to do is file something to dissolve it. Have you tried that?
Can I answer that question?
Yes, go
ahead.
I think she was originally
trying to get this financial conservatorship to pay her bills, to make sure everything was paid on time. But when it came to the point where she was told to go to certain doctors, you know, it got out of control. And that's been that way for 6 months at least.
Yeah.
She misunderstood.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Who told her that she had to go to certain doctors? Was it the courts that told her that?
No. Ironically, my conservators haven't had any of the input on any of the changes that they've made for me, but they did. They disagreed, saying that they have the credentials to trump my doctors and attorneys, and that's just the way it is. I think the really hard part here is not just being removed from all of my doctors and medications. I think the hard part is all of my private healthcare records. I don't think the attorneys have any, they're not held to any standard with keeping my information private. I believe if they had a chain of custody attached to my HIPAA and private documents, I think that doing this type of stuff would give people a paper trail to deal with the courts or ask the courts by the judge. That was the only motion she filed on my behalf, my new attorney. And it's sort of, she denied me the right to have my own counsel, my conservator did. So it's just really complicated to understand. I don't know my doctor, what information, who is telling them, we didn't want you committed. We never said that. You can take care of yourself. We were more looking for integrity with people, and unfortunately, they found the bad apples, what the courts did.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, Luann, I mean, and you can you can disagree, but if it was you and even your doctor at the time who petitioned for a voluntary guardianship, you should look up the statute in your state.
Well, I did. The thing is on that, Marcy, they actually, when I had a judge handle everything, I spoke with him, and then my case was transferred to the judge I have right now, and they transferred it, and they put in the new conservators, there was no special or limited box checked, and it was a phone call meeting due to COVID, so I'm hoping to make traction, but it's hard to find an attorney that will look at this and say that I have a chance of getting out of this, but I don't really know why yet. Capacity is not the 100% issue, my conservator told me.
Well,
wow.
I mean, we can see. I can ask Vito Ropo. He's an attorney in Florida. If he knows anything, if it would be different in another state, but I mean, you can correct me, Luann, if you know any better. If it's a voluntary guardianship and you wanted it to begin with, and even though your doctor said, yeah, maybe it's a good reason, if you want to end it and this doctor who went along with it in the beginning with you says, you know, I agree, you know, it's now it's a little bit too much and she doesn't need it and she's good to go, I've seen it be dissolved. But again, every state
is different.
Well, ironically,
my doctors, no one has ever contacted my doctors during this process. No one has gotten any information.
Terrible.
So my doctors haven't even been spoke to. So the only reason I think that if we really enforce the privacy with personal health information, I believe it would have or lead to a chain of custody between doctors who know the patients and who care for them instead of pulling it out of our hands.
Well, and her main doctor in Highlands Ranch called our Lone Tree is the top in her profession, so she knows what she's doing. So for them to not even contact her is crazy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does, but guess what? It's very typical. It's very typical.
Yeah.
Everything that should be done isn't.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do a lot of digging around out here, too, and start writing letters to people and trying to figure out what we can do. And I've got some legislators. And I've got Channel 4 dues. I'm going to be sending this whole information about her to them at our Channel 7 news. But let me tell you something. The fees is what's outrageous. The fees, I can't even believe that a judge would okay fees. Does everybody remember Pat Brannigan? He was on the Channel 7 news the other day.
Yes.
Do you remember how they came in? They took his dog and they're only giving him a few hundred dollars a week to live off of. He was on Channel 7 News. And after the senators and all of them got up there and the representatives talked about they needed a fee change, this attorney of his comes in and puts in a new fee schedule. Guess how much they're going to charge an hour? $395 an hour for his partners. $295 an hour for associates, $150 an hour for paralegals, $120 per hour for fiduciary services, personnel and law clerks, and $75 per hour for legal assistance. And guess what this is going to include? But not limited to court costs, postage, copying costs, out-of-pocket costs, mileage, expenses for and time associated with travel, filing fees, long-distance telephone calls, file maintenance, faxes, computer research fees, process services, and courier charges. I mean, I literally fell off my chair when I saw that.
And he doesn't have much money left to begin with.
No. And you know what? He made like $2,500 a month. They're not giving him enough to live off of, you know. But I just wanted to, you know, to let everybody know that this is an issue that we have going on, okay, in Colorado and in other states. Why are these people charging $395 an hour? For what?
Because they can. Because no one's stopping them. You know, and our
exactly.
and our guests, you know, you were hijacked. Your whole life was hijacked. And no one is helping to rescue you and get your freedom back. And if anyone talks to you and says, oh, well, she really needs, you know, there's something not right there, they're insane. You do not need a guardianship. And even if even for someone that has dementia, if there are family members begging to take care of their family members at home, then that is the way it should be. And that's why we fight, because what's happening to you and your ex-husband and your family is wrong, period, the end.
If period, the end is right. And go ahead, Kylie.
Well, I was going to say, and I am willing to take care of her 100%. I've done her wrong in the past, unfortunately, but I'm willing to take care of her 100% financially. I can take care of all of her bills, which is, you know, if you save $2,500 a month that she's charging her minimum, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, I think the hard part for me right now is my daughters all have cats. We had a huge house, and now I don't. So my kids have pets. We have cars, and my conservator said, no pets at your house. I don't pay for it. So far, since she was appointed, it's been afforded a couch that was used for $400 and a kitchen table and then two beds on the floor. So I'm really good at being challenged. I take the opportunity in all of this, but it really is hurting my children. And I think that they're being punished as if they were the criminals, and I'm a child being abused.
And that's what we're talking about to today. It's not about us financially. It's about the kids, 100%.
Yeah.
Okay? You guys are in a different perspective, but, yeah, for us, for
me, the kids. Well, the big question to you is, I bet you neither one of you knew that if you were to go into a divorce or any of this stuff was to happen, that this stuff was going to happen to you guys. And I talked to Carrie earlier, and she said that she, after a while, she didn't recognize too many people or any of that, but all of that has kind of come back to her. She knows everybody now, and there's still, you know, something has to be done to where she could go back into court and say, look, I'm doing good now. I want to get out of this conservatorship. There has to be a way to do that. Do you guys have an attorney right now that's
Carrie
helping you?
Carrie's doing 110% so much better 3 years ago. She's articulate now. She's doing so much better. She's happier.
I think that the problem is I don't think the system is set up for people to get better. I did get better, and that's great, but I feel so bad. It's hard. This whole case has just been a little bit difficult, and again, mostly on our kids.
Right.
Yeah.
And
can I ask you a question? Did I hear you correctly?
Definitely.
Thanks. Did I hear the two of you correctly say that the guardian, the conservator, said that you couldn't have pets?
Correct. My kids have them already. The cars
and
that we own.
And did they have to get rid of them?
They went back to my ex-husband's house. One of the cats needed surgery. It was declined. So luckily, Kylie can take care of that. But I'm really just nervous at my apartment complex because I don't let anybody in. I don't really go anywhere except for to the doctors because I'm nervous. She threatened me that they were going to put me under a GAL and guardian.
Yes.
And they did actually try to put me, but they filed a petition to the judge. So I have a good friend, and she hired an attorney for me, and they were able to get the guardianship and GAL request declined.
Oh, my goodness. And don't tell me the name, but maybe, Luann, you could text it to me just to do a little research on the conservatorship. That is, I am so, so sorry. And if there's anything, obviously, Marcy and Luann and I can do, anything to assist you and your family, we will do it. And that is disgusting. It is. This is just criminal.
Yeah, we're here in Colorado with a lot of pissed-off families already. You know, I've got a lot of people here in Colorado, so it's just a matter of getting everybody together to go picket the judges or go picket, You know, we're not going to go to the attorney's homes or anything like that, but we're going to get an okay. Make sure you always do that. You get an okay to picket in front of the courthouse. You get the police involved. You get everybody involved. You be very nice to each other. You just hold your signs, you know, and say, this judge did it wrong, but you never, I don't go to anybody's homes. I don't do any of that because these people are ruthless. They're going to come after you, you know. But I just wanted to tell everybody that.
I just wanted to add something, if that's okay, that I forgot to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
My first conservator, he had my daughter, Molly, who's 15, and myself. He attacked us on the top floor of our apartment complex. He had me arrested. They ticketed Molly, my daughter, and took me to jail. They dropped the charges, but they kicked me out of that apartment and my children, and we lost everything again. So I don't know what's going on with the system. I just think that when someone can have you arrested, that's frightening.
Yeah.
For what?
Yeah. You know what? They always do that. I think it's to just take the thing off them. It is because, you know, I've done enough of these radio shows for over 5 years now, and every one of them is the guardianship conservatorship handbook. Every single one. Even Brittany's case. Even her. She said the exact same thing that all the other victims are saying. Is saying it is abusive to be in a conservatorship, guardianship. You know, and they want their life back. And that's what you told me. I want my life back. And I think I'll be talking to a lot of people out here to see what we can do about that. And hopefully, Channel 7 News, Jennifer Kowalski said she's in with us with this. In fact, we're coming out with segment number 3, and I'm hoping to have your story on there. So that's what I'm working on next. And by God, there has been so much that has gone on since Britney Spears. I mean, I have been literally just flooded with articles coming in from all over the place, and I'm really glad this is happening. And there was one that came in from Britney Spears the other day saying that there's going to be national bills going in, and I'm going to try to find out what I want to talk about before I say it, but I wanted to ask Kylie one thing. Do you ever talk to other people and say, whatever you do, don't get divorced. Don't go to court. Don't do any of this.
100%, because I'm...
Yeah. Well, do you talk about that to your friends?
Oh, 100%. Because I'm an advisor. Mm-hmm. And somebody says they're getting divorced. The first thing I say is, do not let anybody go into conservatorship. 100%.
Right. That is one thing I speak about. I've had a couple people, like 4 or 5, I think, on our radio show where they were going into a divorce. There's a couple that did, and I actually talked 3 couples out of a divorce. I said, you might not get along now, but you both are going to be broke, poor, hard up, homeless, and it's best to do it yourself. In fact, get along with each other. You marry each other for life, get along. What the heck, you know? But everybody laughs at me now.
My fault.
That's
my fault. I should have stayed with my wife when she was disabled, unfortunately. But,
in the past. I have a question for you guys. Has anybody ever heard of, if you get married, does it affect the conservatorship? Like, if I were to get remarried to Kylie, I haven't found anywhere in writing on what that would constitute. Does anybody have that information?
Yeah, what you have to do is go back and do your paperwork, and I'll go in there with you and look at all the paperwork that you got, because I'm really good at spotting. You might not be under a guardianship to where you can't marry and you can't drive. You can't do anything. So I don't think you're completely under a guardianship. You are under conservatorship, and they just control your money. As far as anything else, I would still be very leery if you were to even get married at this time until you're completely out of court, because you don't want to tie anything in with your husband with this going on with these attorneys involved. Right.
Yeah. Good
so
point.
I would wait. I would wait until we start digging around. Let me look at your paperwork. Let's talk to some people here in Colorado. Let's see what we could do with this, and then
yeah,
maybe
you really have to have a strategy.
We'll have a good success story in another year from now or 6 months, and we'll be able to say, hey, you guys could get remarried again if you want or whatever, but make sure you're out of court. And that's what I tell everybody is try not to do too much while you're in the court process, you know.
That's a great, it's awesome. Thank you so much. That's great. That's a great,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Don't do anything right now because I've heard there's a couple other people that called me from here in Colorado, and one of them got divorced, or I think they're still married, and they separated, and they went after the lady because she was taking care of another man, you know, she was a caretaker, and now they are, I think they're going to go after her husband. Be careful. These people and that are conservatorships and guardianships, those people are just horrifying nowadays. Now, I did talk to a couple of the legislators out here, and they said the fees are too high. You think $395 an hour to lick a stamp? I think that's a little bit outrageous to me. But I just can't say it big enough. Do not go to any kind of court. I don't care what it is. Divorce court, juvenile court, child custody court, divorce courts, probate courts, because
any
these
court.
Are, they're like predators in our judicial system. And I hate to call them predators, but that's what I call them now, because a person in their right mind, when I was guardianship of my mother, I didn't go in and steal everything she had. I protected her. I guarded her. I went in there with my life. I took care of her, you know. I did everything I could to make her life better, which I did, you know. But these ruthless people, you know, and I'm going to say you're ruthless. If you're listening to my radio show, you people are ruthless. You know, that's all I can say.
With a capital
I'm glad
R.
Yeah, with a capital R. Anyway, anything else you guys want to add? And I'm going to start taking callers in, you know, and probably in about 15, 20 minutes. And to do that, the phone number is 845-241-9962. 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and that's if you have a question or a comment. And you will be live on the air with us. And remember, these shows are archived. They're recorded. You can listen to this link anytime you want. I just want everybody to know that. That if you go to The Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio, you will see a lot of our shows on there. And you can share any one of those at any time. So I just want to let you know that. So we probably won't be taking any callers in yet. I still have a few more questions to ask Carrie. So you're saying that you weren't able, you know, you kind of had memory issues going on, right? And so,
well, you know what happened after the brain surgery is I just had a lot.
Right.
For everything, a lot of personal things. Splotchy stuff all over the place. Got better, worked really hard, and doing good in 2015 and 16. And then in 2017, after the car accident, I started just like resetting back to and having my memory just dissolve away. And I started having seizures after the car accident. When I have a seizure, probably everybody that has seizures maybe goes through that when you wake up. And it's just super blurry and confusing. So all my facts are there. I just get them confused. I know who my kids are. You know, I've never had anything relapse to that far of a point. It's just frightening, I think, for my kids because all of our stability and structure, and no mention to what we did for our career-wise, this is just a hard spot to fit in. I feel bad for the people that are involved. On the other end of the spectrum, like your parents, it's just a complete, it's crazy. I feel like they just treat people in conservators or guardianships like we are children that were being abused or molested, and they hide us like that. And I think they treat our family or those interested in helping us in a way that there's really no way for there to be a win-win situation in that case.
And the one thing with that, there are people that need conservatorship 100% of the time. Carrie is not one of those people that needs that. She may need some financial help you know, paying bills, doing that kind of thing, which I'll be there for her. But the other part of that, picking who her doctor is, you know, it's just crazy. That's she's had a doctor for 15 years, Dr. Linares, who is the top doctor at Sky Ridge Medical Center in Denver, Colorado.
Right.
I mean, why would they ever say she can't use that doctor? It's crazy.
Yeah, and that's why
and
I just have
my makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah, makeup,
someone just texted
makeup
me that same question
thing.
Is, why are they not letting you see your other doctors?
They said that their attorney that I pay for stated that he found, and they found my doctors to be luxury treatments. I have Meniere's disease, so my hearing is pretty bad in my eyes. I lost my headphones, so I sent over an email, so I'm not allowed to shop or purchase anything other than the money that I get weekly. But I just asked them to please get me some headphones. They're noise canceling. They're expensive, but shoot, I can't wear hearing aids. I'm not compatible. And their attorney sent back an email and said, if Mrs. Brenneman has any issues with her hearing, she should go to Costco or Sam's Club for a test.
Well,
I don't even know what to say about that. Like, a girl that has
hearing
aids.
Can I just say something, Luann?
Yeah, go ahead.
That is, I mean, this might be your way out, or definitely I would suggest that the three of you mention that she is violating your ADA.
Yes.
You have disabilities, your hearing, your sight, whatever it is, that you should have
yeah,
everything
denying,
you need.
You're denying your medical treatment, and I would definitely be putting something into the court. And I would definitely be saying they're denying this, they're denying this, they're denying this. Let's go. I'm going to go through all your paperwork and see what's going on. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's American with Disabilities, and everyone who has whatever it is, if they're older, if they can't see, if they can't hear, they are supposed to have whatever they need, and she is your guardian, and she should give you everything and should be accommodating everything that you need. So that's big, and that scares people when you mentioned ADA rights being violated.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I was listed. My first conservator listed me as a 1-year-old child on the rental application for my kids and I at the apartment, and I'm not 1 year old. So when my conservator has the legal grounds to kick us out, he didn't. She was an employee, so it's been very difficult to get this, just wrap our head around it and figure out what to do.
Yeah, I just don't think that, you know, you would think that they would want you to go to these better doctors, but you know what? They hang on to your money like it's totally there. This is what I don't understand is, well, I do understand it, is that they treat the money that you have as it's theirs, so they don't want to give you any more than you have to because they claim it. You know what I mean? So that way if they stop you
from
going to the doctors,
it's
right.
Right. Right. They have no credit. I think that they actually impersonate attorneys, doctors, judges, juries. I think that the conservators have such a broad spectrum in insurance, mortgages. You have a fiduciary responsibility, and there's so many checks and balances. There are no checks and balances, none for them to. I inquired to every community Department of Justice, Office of Inspector General. I got letters back from everybody saying that they were glad that I went back to Adult Protective Services for my questions. It's so self-monitored, there's really not much to do.
I think the sad thing is, too, one thing, is she will call me every week and say, you know, I need $20 for food or $20 for cat food. I mean, as much money as she's getting every month, she should not have to do that whatsoever. Her cat should be living in a luxury home. You know what I mean? I mean, they have to call
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you know what?
To ask
and
her,
I just...
You have to call
We're
me
gonna
and ask
have
for
to fight.
$20. It's crazy.
Yeah, we're gonna have to fight like hell to get her out of there. But I do believe that there will be a way. And I'll talk to some other attorneys out here. You know, I've got a few up my sleeve that I might be able to go and talk to. that could probably help you out. I'm just thinking of a few myself.
I did meet Tuesday this week. I met a phenomenal woman. She is just advocating for people in this situation, and I think I would love you guys to meet her because she just has the right makeup for this. She is not there to do anything but help and advocate, and I seriously haven't found anybody like that yet. I believe Oprah that nobody's coming to save me.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, in your case, you hit home with a lot of people that are listening because I'm getting people sending me messages saying that I know how she feels. My dad's in conservatorship. And if you guys want to call into the radio show, do that. I'm sitting here typing as well. And come talk to Carrie and Kylie about this because there's a lot of people under conservatorship and guardianship. And a lot of people aren't even able to talk about it because they're so conserved and they're so isolated from people. I'm surprised they didn't try to do that to you. Or do you know if they did try to file guardianship on you as well?
On me, yes, they tried. They entered the motion, but my friends had helped me hire an attorney to get that squashed. So the attorney did that. I have four different streams of income coming in for disability, so on one of those streams, my conservators did not take the representative payee and collect it in. They left like three of my income sources of money, two or three out, lingering everywhere, checks piling up at my old address, being returned to Social Security Disability, and their fiduciary abilities are extremely questionable only because of the experience that I had and Kylie has as being in a fiduciary responsibility with insurance.
Yeah, wow. And everybody wanted to know, how did you end up making like $1,000 a month? I mean, everyone's like, wow, is that like disability you're on, or what is that?
Yes, I get, well, for Social Security disability, it's not that much. It's like, I guess it's all relative, but that's almost like $1,800. And then the rest of it, the other big chunk is that I have long-term disability coverage. So that kicks in and replaces my income. And then Kylie, through our divorce, we also have an agreement there. So when she reported to the judge, my second conservator, there was absolutely no representation of anything that looked like I had a spending problem, I wish. So it just got a little bit complicated. And I just fear for my kids. I know that one day everybody dies, everybody gets sick. I just can't imagine that I have to stay in the system with someone who ignores my phone calls, fires my doctors. It's just a little dangerous. My doctor had me tell her that what she's doing will cause catastrophic effects in my life because I cannot stop my medicine or be switched. And my doctor didn't get any response, neither did I, from that situation.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
So horrible.
What happened to the first conservator who was embezzling from you?
Oh, well, he was my second conservator worked with the police detective, and they went through the entire process. They reported back to me that they were charging him with two felonies for stealing money and embezzling and whatnot, and then it was about 3.5 weeks later, the district attorney in Douglas County wrote me a letter stating that because I had a relationship with this man, that they want me to go civil charges, and they're not pressing any charges against him.
Oh, God.
Was that Brockler?
Yeah.
Was that Brockler?
Yes.
Same
situation. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Geez, they got to come in and go in every direction, don't they?
Yes.
God.
It just seems like
no
crazy.
Matter what you do. But the thing that's scary is how all these attorneys and all these people are saying that you can never get out of conservatorship. I don't believe that. In a way, I do. But in reality, you should be able to. You should be able to present your medical information. You should go in there and say, Judge, this is you're done. You know, but they don't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for some reason, it's not like that with the judge. I believe that what happened is I made one motion per se to the judge because my estate planning, extensive estate planning, was just like tossed to the side when I was switched to a new judge. So, and then once I was under the new conservatorship, it was not marked special or limited, so they put me under a permanent conservatorship, and that's just crazy. I had
do you know when you're
going?
Yeah.
No.
Do you know when you're supposed to go back to any court, or do you not? You don't have any court dates?
I don't. The counsel that I have, I'm waiting for her to get back to me. My doctor just want to know, like, who in the heck are you guys getting your information from? We are her doctors, and someone has to ask them. I have no idea what's going on. It's frustrating because I can't make any headway. And once I did the pro se to the court, I got very nervous because I feel like I went through a phone call where I thought that I was making sense and I would get some response. But at the end of the call, I got nothing like that. It just seemed like it was going good. But my conservator still, and that, you know, that was in March for my estate planning to be entered. They never, ever sent it to the judge. When the judge told my first conservator that he was under his jurisdiction and to return my documents, and that never happened. There was supposed to be a contempt charge filed by my second conservators. They didn't do it. So I don't know if the judge doesn't care or my conservators aren't up to par.
Another thing I want you to start doing, and I tell everybody this, is start keeping track of every time you send out an email, no response. Every time you talk to them, they don't call you back, no response. You want to start getting a ledger of all of this information. Every time you do anything at all in correlation to them, ask for a doctor's appointment, whatever. If they don't turn your call, put it down. So, and then after about a month or so, or 6 months or whatever, you could go to the judge and say, look at this ledger of all the times I have tried to reach out to them, and they have not returned my calls. Why am I being conserved? Period.
Agreed. Thank you. That makes good sense.
Yeah. You know, because you have to have everything proof, everything written down, everything videoed, everything, you know, just record. That's all I can say, you know.
Yeah, I do most of my communication with them over email.
One attorney told me on when he came on my radio show, he said, record. That's all he told me. And I kept saying that.
Yeah, with
and
memory
I, and
issues,
I do that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. I tell people that
and you
once
can also
I get
do
nervous,
that. You can also do that.
Record it.
If for short-term memory loss, you can, you know, record people just to understand and then go back to them and then you'll know exactly what they said. I do that sometimes. I just have to have it for my own records, you know, because I get
yeah,
really
I definitely
busy.
Have that. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a good idea.
Yeah. But, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time on our shows, you know, and we want to keep it going. We want to keep that. It's just not Brittany that this is happening too. And, there's a lot of hype going on, though, and I'm going to see if I can find it on Facebook where I think it was Dr. Sam or somebody talked about it where they were getting some big legislation coming in, and Dr. Sam was saying, no, it's not that good because if they give you to a public, you know, a different kind of a conservator or whatever it is, it's going to be worse than what they had before. So I was trying to find this on this. I don't know where it is. Hopefully someone will send it to you, to me. But, I also wanted to talk about tonight that there's a Colorado psychiatrist. I don't know if anybody had him. His name is Howard Weiss, Weiss. He's indicted on 100 counts. By the way, Howard Weiss, Weiss. He was just related to pill mill. Has anybody heard of that?
I didn't.
Howard Wise. Yeah. So yeah. So I wanted to let everybody know that at least they're starting to indict people, you know, that are starting to hurt our elders and the disabled and just giving out pills like that. But they said that he gave over 9,000 pills of Ativan to a whole year of pills. That's a lot of pills. Ativan, you know, 9,000 pills for a year to his customers. I'm like, whoa, if I read that correctly, you know what I mean? That's a lot.
But it runs really deep, though. You got attorneys, you know, take it from attorneys, take it from our clients, take it from doctors, take it from judges. It goes really
mm-hmm.
deep. And that's the unfortunate thing is we can't figure out who is giving who money. You know, it's unfortunate because everybody's taking money from somebody or getting referrals from somebody, and, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah, someone just sent me the best attorneys that you might be able to get interested in this case. Let me see who it was. I'll have to look at that. Linda Lee or something like that? Esquire? A family law attorney, probate and estate. We'll have to look at her and see what they could do for us, okay? So people are sending in their questions and their comments to me instead of calling into the radio show, but usually that's okay. 845-241-9962, you press A1. 845-241-9962, press A1. But I wanted to talk to Hillary as well. Hillary, talk a little bit about the guardianship task force, because I'm thinking of maybe getting something done out here. How did that start?
Sue Melendi and I, we have it's a nonprofit organization that only deals with guardianship. It's Justice for All Florida. We've been having twice monthly meetings with the Clerk of Courts, Ken Burke, in Pinellas County, and he's really good. I mean, just concerning about different issues. In guardianships, and he knows how bad it is. Florida's, you know, one of many states that are really ground zero. So he, on his own, he started this guardianship task force, and I will just, if it's okay, I will just momentarily read you a little bit of exactly what it is. And there is tomorrow is the first meeting, and it will be on YouTube, and I will post it. It's Eastern Standard Time, and it starts at 12 noon until 1:30. And there will, with all of the meetings that will go through until September, there will be a public comment or question part of the task force meetings, which is really, really good that every, you know, it's open to the public. So quite quickly, I'll just read this. The Florida and if you can hear me, let me know, Luann. The Florida Court and Comptroller's Office have formed a task force to study the status of current guardianships and to offer positive legislative recommendations leading up to the 2022 legislative session. Clerk of Courts have a significant responsibility to ensure our services effectively support the guardianship process, said Tara Green, president of Clay County Clerk of Courts. As part of our commitment to residents, we are constantly reviewing ways to improve upon our practices, and we look forward to joining our partners on the Guardianship Task Force to review improvement across the entire system and state. Pinellas County Clerk Ken Burke will be the chair of the task force and said the guardianship process is instrumental in ensuring the protection of the vulnerable in communities and not appointing a guardianship when one is not needed. With the Guardianship Improvement Task Force, we are looking at opportunities to address the negative side of guardianship and the gaps and promote recommendations based on expert feedback so the system works more effectively for those it's meant to protect. The first meeting will be tomorrow, and it'll be on YouTube. Then there's an in-person meeting next Wednesday, the 22nd, at St. Pete College. I'll post everything, but I'll just read you the names of who's on the task force. Ken Burke, who's the chair. He's a clerk in Pinellas. The clerk from Collier County, where I live, a really another nice guy, J.D. Peacock. He's a big wig for the clerk. Senator Bradley, she's a Republican from Orange Park, Florida. Republican Colleen Burton, a magistrate from Hillsborough, which is a county, you know, Luann, where I was threatened with a felony from the attorney because we tried to speak for the ward. A retired judge from Orange County, Judge Rodriguez, represented someone from the reptiles, they're the elder section. I won't say anything else. Shannon Miller, who's an elder law. Anthony Palmieri, who does everything guardianship for the state. The leader of the Florida State Guardianship Association, someone from Disability Rights, Hillary Hogue. I think that's me, who's a ward advocate, and I hope more. Zane Smith from AARP, someone from the Guardian at Lightham Program, Legal Aid. Richard Prudham from Elder Affairs and Office of Public and Professional Guardians backed out, which is so par for the course. Someone from Veterans Affairs, and finally, a really nice judge, Michelle Morley. So I'm looking forward to it, and I will say this. And very seriously, I take it very, very seriously because I will be the voice for the voiceless. I will be the voice for people who are living, as we speak, in locked facilities that have no visitation, have no phone access, only get different clothes to wear when someone dies in that memory unit and they get to go through a garbage bag with their belongings. So I take it very, very seriously, and I am honored to have been asked. So thank you.
Right. Yeah, and Hillary, weren't you, like, also, you were very instrumental in helping, like, 3 or 4 people getting freed out there from Florida?
Well, we did mid-2020 and the beginning of 2021. Jan Garwood, who's 70, you know, when you post something on Facebook, you know, looking for a recommendation, it's usually for a hotel or a restaurant. Jan Garwood posted, looking for an attorney, I'm in a locked facility and I need help. And I responded, here's my number. And miraculously, about a year later, Jan right now is living in Oregon with one of her sons, and she made it out. Can you believe it? That's how we have to say
yeah.
it, because these are prisoners. She made it out. She was one of the few that didn't die in guardianship. Russell Sage Myers, who is will be turning 40, young, great guy, smarter than I'll ever be. He got out of guardianship thanks to Leslie Federico's. And Doug Keegan got out, and Suzanne Straub and Deesa Sachs. But, you know, they got out, but nothing is in place when you get out. The few that get out, they just don't get their money back. They're told you're going to have to wait a few months. And you know, people don't have any money. And it's just, you know, it's just so detrimental to everything. And that's one of the things I'll be bringing up with this task force, that when people have their rights restored, they, similar to a prisoner who gets out of prison, they're given $1,000, $5,000, just to tie them over until they get their money. Or there should be a court order that they can go to the bank the following day and get their money so that they can, you know, find a place to live, because more so than not, their homes have been sold by the Guardian, so they have nowhere to go.
Yeah, and you know what, and it's, I really think that there has to be some kind of reimbursement for these people. I mean, because they had everything they've ever worked for completely stolen from them.
There has to be some kind of restitution.
Something that needs to be done, because we heard from Jan Garwood, and she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. And the same thing with Susan Straub. She's like, I'm not sure what I got to do. I'm having a hard time getting my Social Security back. I'm hard time getting my driver's license back. I'm having a hard time getting anything back. I'm having a hard time going to the store. You know, it's like the very beginning
people
starting
realize,
out all over again.
People
can you imagine doing a whole life, 50, 60, 70 years, and it's taken away from you, then you got to start completely over again. Whatever
and
happened,
there's no one there, right. There's
years.
No one there to assist you.
There's
it's
no
just
one there
terrible.
To assist you, so.
It took Jan about 6 months to get her driver's license back. And I will say this, you know, again, prestigious people on this task force, I'm sure they have this degree, that degree. I can honestly say I believe I am, there's only two people on this task force who are not making money by guardianship continuing.
There
you,
you
know,
go.
Everyone is.
Well, yeah,
money.
You'll have to let everybody know, and then let us know when it's on tomorrow as well. Yeah, that's
you know
going to be very interesting. But Tilly Hogue, she's one of our faces advocates here, and you know, to tell you the truth, Hillary was one of them people that called into our show about 2 years ago and wouldn't even give us her first name. And look how big she got, and look how much of an advocate she is now, standing up and saying no to this kind of abuse.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool
yeah.
how all this turned out.
Yeah,
well, let's bring in a caller, a 616 number. Yeah, let's bring in a 616 caller. You have a question or a comment?
Oh, yes, this is Holly from Michigan.
Hi, Holly from Michigan.
Hi, thank you, Hillary, for all you're doing.
Thank you.
I just got back from St. Louis, Missouri, went down there for a protest on the family court. Judges were doing their convention down there, and there were some people that actually got inside and got a hold of some programs and papers. And these programs are grants from, say, universities, and they're given to the courts. And the programs are things like child this or social programs or stuff like that. The problem with all these people on the task force, which it's good that there is a task force, but is none of these people are caretakers. They'll visit somebody once or twice a year. They dump people. The people on the task force have no bonding. They've dehumanized already the person who's already in guardianship. And the reason why I mentioned these programs is that these programs are also given to these guardianship courts to run through a program. Not a program, I call it a study. Block grants of money are given. But the courts are not caregivers. The courts are not doctors. The courts are not medical people. The courts are not teachers. The courts are nothing. They don't have any kind of bonding or connection to these people, what they're doing this to. That's why when these people get out of guardianship, there's nothing. They're not going to be able to start over. They're going to be right back where they started because there's no way to get that. It's hard. It's hard for us at 16.
I've seen it happen.
And it's harder now
more.
I guess my thing is that these courts, I'm 100% against guardianship, period. Not 10% for it, not 15% for it, not 18% for it. It is human ownership. I don't care if you think the person needs to be watched over. There's 100 different ways to do that. Courts, and especially probate courts, have absolutely no business of oversighting a live person. That's based back from slavery, buying and selling people. That's how they already have that knowledge, is buying and selling people, slavery. That's where it came from. But they have absolutely no business overseeing anybody at all because that's not even their field of practice because slaves to them were property. It's the same thing with guardianship people. It's property.
Yeah.
So this whole thing about, oh, some people need it. No, it's 100% against the Constitution of the United States. There's no not a little here, here, or a little here, there. We have all kinds of programs to help people out. But anybody in a court, they have nothing to do with bonding or caretaking or seeing to people's needs. I mean, you talk about my daughter, she's not even allowed to have her wheelchair. We're talking a cerebral palsy person. You talk about ADA rights? Guess what? That's going to be a hard road to go through because, yeah. Because I guess my point is that they're 100%, yeah. Guardianship is 100% illegal, period. It's slavery. That's where it started from. And
I was
going
to tell you something, Mark. While you brought that up to me, one of our good original faces advocates, we were talking the other day, Cliff Batista, and he was telling me this is how it's done. This is public administrator abuse, guardianship abuse, conservator abuse. This is how it's done. He says you buy people from the court. It's like bidding on a storage locker. What's inside?
Yeah.
What can I get? How much money can I make? This goes on daily. It's called human ownership. And I tell you what.
Read your history. That's how they did it with the slaves.
Right. And I want to talk to Kylie now and say, what did you think of that statement? Is it basically truth?
Basically truth?
Well,
yeah.
Will you repeat the question for him? I'm so sorry to do that to you.
Yeah.
I just
repeated this. One of my one of my FACES advocates, they came up to me, one of the original creators of FACES, told me the other day, this is how it's done. You buy people from the court. It's like bidding on a storage locker. What's inside? What can I get? How much money can I make? He says, this goes on daily. It's called human ownership racket.
Yes. I 100% agree with it. But you got to understand the history of probate. That's what they did. Most of the slaves were brought there to probate courts, and that's where they did it. They were property. That's why they know so much how to do it. It's already on their books. That's just, it is human ownership.
It starts with the judges, though, all the way down to every attorney that goes down from judges to attorney to attorney to attorney. It starts with the judges 100% of the time.
Yeah. So do you think,
from what I've seen,
you know, and everybody talks about this, and it's always a question in the back of my mind, what are the judges making off of this? I mean, do you think they're backhandedly making money? You know, Lisa McCarty talks about how a lot of these judges, they are not educated in probate law. For some reason, I'm having a hard time thinking about it. I think they're all educated. I think they wouldn't be in the spot where they are. There's got to be something going on more why they're allowing this to happen.
Luann, that's why I was bringing up about St. Louis, and that's why I'm about to send you those papers. They're getting all kinds of block grants, not just family courts, but probate courts. They're getting block grants from somebody, usually from a university, just like the Tuskegee experiment. They want, they have to do the program all the way through on specific people, and they have to fill those slots, but they get huge grants of money given to the courts, the conciliar program. I can't remember the name of that whole organization. They're getting huge block grants money to run these programs through, to see them through, things that they shouldn't even have their fingers in. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I believe the courts want to be the government. If that happens, we are in big problems. Because that's what they want. But they have their fingers in child care, birth, everything.
So send me anything that you have on that, and maybe I'll possibly do a radio show on that.
It's an eye-opener. It's a big eye-opener.
It's a big eye-opener. Send that stuff to me, and let me review it, because if it's worth it, I want to, you know, bring it on to this radio show, maybe someone from Missouri, okay?
Well, okay, but you can't say you got it from, even though it's on a radio show right now, because I got it with somebody else, and they sent it to me. But I was down there, and it's, but as far as just one more statement. Does somebody needs guardianship maybe a little bit? No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, 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 no.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
My point. No, 100% well, against it, period. You can't have a little bit of it here and there or cherry pick it or say this person needs it, this person doesn't need it, this person might need it a little bit. No. We've got millions of other programs.
Yeah.
You get it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But thank you. I mean, it's just.
Right. Thank you.
It's just.
Appreciate you calling in.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Yeah, Holly, she usually gives us updates of different things, but, you know, that's all interesting. You know, like I say, what are your thoughts on this, Carrie? What are your thoughts on this, Kylie Hillard? You're with me. You know,
you
I always sit here and
really
wonder,
think,
what?
I think that
why
they have to, like, literally, they have to have bonds for every conservator or guardian, and if they are waived by the judge, I think that that should be a, like, a red flag for us to, like, ask for a little bit more time with the court system, because it's hard to have that strapped to you with no warning,
mm-hmm.
no understanding, and no choice. I know that my second conservator was appointed within 3 business days by the county,
mm-hmm.
and when it's an emergency, they waive all of the rules to protect me. Like if I would have had a court visitor, that was waived. So the second time around, I was part of a system like an out-of-the-country prison, because I think if I went to prison here, I would have a ton more rights and stability.
Yeah, you know, and
yes,
yeah,
sad but true.
Yeah, you know, you kind
of
feel like a
accountability.
Prisoner.
Accountability.
Go ahead, Kylie.
Who do we go to? If you want to hire an attorney, they're going to charge you, you know, $2,500 for the first hour or whatever. There's no accountability for these people whatsoever, for the doctors, the judges, all these people that are probably, you know, getting together and working out some system where they're going to, you know, just completely.
Like I care a lot. Like
exactly.
Yeah,
that. Exactly.
It's hard to say,
and something really important there. That's what they're going to, that's what they talked about on Channel 7 News, is that the fees are outrageous. $395 an hour. Now, remember, that's for one attorney. If you go into a courtroom, you have to pay the attorney, you have to pay the court attorney, you have to pay the guardian ad litem, you got to pay their attorneys, you got to pay, you know, absolutely everybody. There's like how many, like 7? The other day I was in court down in Douglas County. There was 9 people in that courtroom that they had to pay. 9 people. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's probably a $14,000 day. Okay. That's what I'm speculating.
Right. Can I read something really quick that I found
on
the case?
Mm-hmm.
And the case, really briefly, the mother was in guardianship. There was a no visitation order, no contact, because, you know, the son was being proactive. The guardian did not tell the son that his mother died for 2 months. So this is what he wrote, part of what he wrote at the end of something he filed. It's not that long at all. Although I had legal representation at the inception of the guardianship case, why do I have to keep paying attorneys to simply obtain routine information about my mother, especially about what would happen following her death? Why is guardianship such a closed system for the insiders, like the professional guardians and their lawyers, but not acceptable to family members of the ward? The only answer I can get is that this is a system where the for-profit motive is of the highest priority, and the ward and their families are nothing but pawns subject to the control of the professional guardian and their attorneys. And that,
God.
I mean, that's it right there. And
there
and
it
just,
is.
You know, this is from just a few months ago. So nothing's changed. People are getting, you know, effed every single day in every county and every state in this country.
Yeah, and I just got someone just said that my attorney fees are over $100,000. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
$100,000. Can you?
It
pissed me off that I had to even, I even had to go pay money for restraining orders that they gave me against my own mother. And I had to pay attorneys to get the restraining orders off of me because I would have had elder abuse on my record the rest of my life.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I remember I went to church one time and I wanted to be the safe house one time where they put the little sign up on your window and it's a safe house. Well, I applied there and I said, well, my brother gave me a restraining order for some false stuff and he said, I'm sorry, but we can't mark you down as a safe house. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, if you have any pending litigation, whether it's right or wrong, you can't do that. And he goes, and that will stay on the record here. We're not allowed to hire anybody like that. And I thought, oh, my God. I mean, this was just an advocacy for them. This was just saying, hey, you could come to my house. It's a free house. It's a safe home, you know. But they were going to I was going to be labeled that the rest of my life if I didn't fight this off.
I know.
Everybody
dangerous.
In guardianship, yeah, that's what everybody is fighting because these attorneys that are making these big monies are going out and filing false accusations on the family members.
Mm-hmm.
We had like
I didn't know you almost got a restraining order. I did too.
I had two separate times my brother filed them on me, and he filed them on my mother. He filed them, you know, he used them using my mother's name with his girlfriend, using their names to file against me. And my mom would go into court and they would say, the judge would say, do you want to not ever see your daughter again? She goes, no, I love my daughter. You know, and I'm like, there you go. But they said that if my mom would have said, yes, I don't want to see my daughter anymore, those would have been permanent on my record for the rest of my life. I could never get them off. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Especially when they die.
I can't believe it. I can.
Yeah. God, pricks, you know, it's like. Oh, I can't say that word. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I get angry every time I think about it because there's so many people that come to me saying they're getting false accusations. I had to clear my name. I was down at the police department at least 5 times clearing my name of false accusations. And then the judges started in on, not the judges, but the attorney started in saying some stuff that wasn't true either. So, yeah, I get it 100%, but... You know, and I have a lot of our victims out there today that are clearing their names before they can do anything. But Kyle, Kylie, I'll definitely wait. If you ever want to remarry again, just wait on it for a while until we can find some good attorneys that we could go to or somebody that can help us out. You know, I'd like to sit down with you.
Now, wait
and
a second.
Jerry
now, back up
this.
There. Back up there. You just said you're going to find some good attorneys. Can you back up with
that? Yeah,
secretary?
I know. I was just handed one. That's been recommended by Channel 4 News. Let's see how this turns out because you know what? To tell you the truth, we had one good attorney on last week, Chris Forsythe, and he's with the Judicial Integrity Project, and he's been on all the news stations with us. And he is an attorney, and he stood up to me the other day, and he goes, I'm sorry, but we all screwed you all over. I'm sorry. You know, we have a lot of attorneys here that are just black. They're not the color black, but just black-hearted, he goes. I'm sorry to say that, but we let you all down. And I'm like, wow. You know, in fact, the first time I ever met Chris Forsythe, I was at this fraud squad, can you believe this or not? And he pulled out the code of ethics, the code of conduct out here in Colorado, and he threw it on the ground and stomped on it. And I'm like, oh, my God. I couldn't believe he did that. He goes, this is what these judges and attorneys are doing to our Constitution here in Colorado. I was blown away totally with the Code of Ethics. And actually, you could go on to the radio show at the Hidden Truth Revealed channel, listen to that last show we did with Chris Forsythe with the Judicial Integrity Project. He was awesome in that whole thing. Why the probate system is so screwed up. And he's not even a probate attorney, you guys. He's just a regular attorney. You know, so I just wanted to put that out there.
Our case is pretty simple. Not simple, but what you guys are going through is 100 times worse than what we are. So, I mean, having to go to court to just crazy.
We were in court
honestly,
36 times. 36 times, really? 17 attorneys, 2 different kinds of judges, 2 different counties. I had to file for guardianship.
Your whole state is gone, right? all your money is gone.
Yeah, and you know what? To tell you the truth, I was also a guardian of my husband. I bet you're hardly nobody ever knows that, but I was a legal guardian of my husband when he became really mentally ill the last couple years of his life. They gave me guardianship of him, and that's when I first started realizing what guardianship and conservatorship was about. And I asked the judge, I said, what? Guardianship, isn't that like being a wife? They all started laughing at me, you know. But I wasn't sure what a guardian was supposed to do. I had no idea. So when I went to go help my husband, I was like the victim, the guardian. I was the administrator. I was like, I was in six different courtrooms at one time with him. He was so mentally ill. But I don't think a lot of people know that story of what happened to me back then. But my husband passed away 16 years ago. You know, he died in my front yard. I don't know if anybody knew that, but yeah, that's what happened to him. But I was a guardian of him. Then I ended up being a co-guardian of my mom, which was the biggest blessing I ever had because I could actually see her through her death. And she's in a real safe resting place with my dad. But to tell you the truth, I've heard so many stories where there's the husbands and the wives are separated. In fact, I'm going to have some people coming up onto our show here the next few weeks. Next week, we're going to be having on, her name is Susie Whalen, and this is going to be discussing her aunt's case out in Alabama, I think it is. But her aunt was denied her own attorney, and all involved used her money to lock her up in an involuntary fraudulent guardianship. And she says the judge at the time is now their mayor, and the DA covered for him, and the DA herself is now a judge. Go figure that one out. Okay, so now that's where it comes into you, Kylie, when you talk about, you know, the different things of God, what's the judge going to be this time? You know, the public administrator that did our family and is now a judge out in Inglewood. Try to figure that one out. She's a traffic judge. So, yeah, there's
good,
always something that comes up. You know, they get fired from one job, they go to another, you know. They get let go, they go do something else, you know. But there's no stopping these people. So
I think they need to be registered.
Yeah.
There's some oversight.
Yeah, there needs to be some kind of an oversight. What would you want to see happen, Carrie? What do you want to see happen?
I would want them to have the same fiduciary responsibility as anybody else in the industry, insurance or what have you. But I think if they were monitored and possibly if we said you can't just pick random companies, assign just stipulations, mortgages and appraisals, they changed the appraisal system to protect people. I think they need to do that here. I don't know how they can waive this charity bond for a conservator or a guarantor and not prove that they have any business insurance. It seems ludicrous.
Yeah, and you know what? The last audit that we did in 2017, all what that did was they talked about it on Channel 7 News. All what it did was take the public administrator's bond from $25,000 to $100,000, and they could make that all up in like 1 week the way they charge these estates, you know. So I'm not sure exactly what – that was the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard of because look how they're taking millions and millions and millions of dollars out of Colorado, and look at your case alone, you know – $11,000 a month and you're only getting your rent paid and $300 a week or $400 a week and then they keep lowering it? What the heck is that about? You know, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is once you're in conservatorship, how the hell do you get out of it? You know, she's, like I said, she's articulate. She's the smartest person I've ever met. How the hell do you get out of it? And you have to hire an attorney to get out of it and then they're, you know, it's just crazy. How the hell do you get out of it? You can't.
Yeah,
it feels like it's
that's probably why they were saying that. I think you can. I just think that we have to sit down and really do a game plan and use our – we need to talk to some of these attorneys here with our group involved and maybe get Channel Channel 7 involved, you know, Channel 4, whoever we have to get involved with, we need to do that to make it like another Britney thing. And you could even get some Britney people here. In fact, the Britney movement people, I had Kevin Wu on a couple of weeks ago, and he said that once Britney is free, he's going to help other people get free as well. He said he's not going to give up the movement just because Britney's free. He says a lot of people need help. So maybe we can ask them to help us get some help. Yeah. And so we will be digging deeper into this in Colorado to see what we could do to get you out, because you don't need to be out. You've got an ex-husband that still loves you and wants to help you and everything, and you've got three wonderful girls that need your help. There's no reason why you should be in conservatorship. And I tell you what, if you go into court and that judge says, no, you can't do that, guess who the picket signs are going to come out? I've already have them made up. They're already ready to go. And I'm telling you right now, that's the only way we got something done in Colorado is through picketing. So if that's what we have to do, that's what we're going to have to do. And you can Amen. Wear a mask there if you don't want to. I wore a mask, a warrior mask. This is what has to be done, everybody. Anyway.
Amen.
Amen. All that said, we are going to end the radio show here tonight. Carrie, I can't.
Thank you for
you
what
know,
you do, by the way. Really appreciate
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, after my family was screwed so bad and I saw the playbooks that they did it with, I was absolutely appalled that my family was taken. You know, I still can't get over this talk of us losing everything my parents worked for. And to this day, I will never let it down, nor will I end my radio shows until we get some darn help here in Colorado
you know
and across
that
the nation.
Worked.
Huh?
Sorry. Luann, can I just mention one more time, and I'm sorry for
uh-huh.
interrupting, about the Guardianship Task Force, that every session will be open to the public. Anyone from any state can join. It'll be, I believe, on YouTube, but however it will be viewable, I will put it on my Facebook page, and I will be sending it to Luann. So if your friends on her Face Us page, she will be posting it there as well. And, you know, again, numbers speak louder than words sometimes, so if you're available to listen in, I would be forever indebted, because we need to have a big showing to let these task force members really know that it's just not a few bad apples, that guardianship corruption is happening to thousands and thousands, millions of people throughout the country.
Yeah. So tell me, when is that going to be happening tomorrow?
Tomorrow it's from 12 noon Florida corruption time, so it's 12 to 1:30. Then on the 28th of this month, next Wednesday, there'll be an in-person from 9:30 until 3:30, but you can still, you know, Zoom in or go to YouTube. And then there will be, I think, four meetings every 2 weeks. And then at the end, there'll be a report sent in before the new legislative session in Tallahassee. So, again, I'm begging people, please Zoom in or go to YouTube. We'll send you, we'll post the link. It's really, really important. And ask a question.
Okay, so that's,
you know,
that's 10 o'clock Colorado corruption time, you guys. 10 o'clock tomorrow Colorado corruption time. We always call it that, don't we?
And, right, 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Corruption time, Florida corruption time. Again, just be respectful, and this is a first. So we don't get much.
Yeah.
Many victories.
Yeah, we will. I'll make sure I get that passed around. And if anybody else wants to come on our radio show, and I posted it up on Facebook, if you want to come on our radio show and tell your story, how you do that is contact me at faceusradio, faceusradio@hotmail.com. Please do so. That's faceusradio@hotmail.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards, Face Us. You can find me on Messenger, Luann Fleming. You can find me just about anywhere nowadays, I tell you. And also, if you're coming on my radio show and I don't get in touch with you, please contact me. I'm just literally swamped, so taking care of a little brand new little puppy too, so he's keeping me running in every direction. So anyway,
so cute.
Gosh, yeah. And you thought I was busy when I was a mother. Oh my God, this little baby boy. Anyway, he's as cute as could be though. His little name is Pico Bean, but he's a little miniature poodle. So anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's
well,
really
thank
cute.
You guys
Carrie,
so much.
Carrie and Kylie, get a hold of me. Let's go through those records. Let's sift through it. Let's see what's going on. And we'll see what we'll go from there and see what we can do as a national organization as well. Okay.
Thank you guys so much for what you do. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, there you go.
What just, a great show. Yeah. And keep
there
fighting.
There you go,
fight,
yeah.
And we've
remember,
got your back. Whatever we need to do,
yeah,
we'll do.
Yeah. Just remember, it's just not Brittany. There's thousands of other people in guardianship and conservatorship that do not belong there. Let's try to give them a helping hand. Get up, speak up, talk about it, go to legislation, contact your news media, contact us here at Faces Radio. I mean, we are the inside scoop, by the way. Justice requires transparency and accountability, and giving up is not an option. And we will be back here again next week with another guest. Her name is Susie Whalen. She's going to be talking about Alabama, and then we've got another 2 or 3 weeks that we are booked now. But go ahead, we will squeeze you in to come on to our radio show. I mean, we want to get these stories pulled out there. And if anybody has any cases going on or state cases going on and you're starting to do, you know, something's becoming very positive, call us. I mean, get a hold of me. I want to put you onto a radio show. We want to keep this positive, okay? So anyway, we are going to let our guests go. Thank you both for coming on so much. Hillary,
thank
Marcy,
you.
It's always a pleasure working with you guys as well.
Thank you, Lynn.
We are going to end it again with the NASDA Commercial National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. Good night, everybody. We'll see you
night,
again
guys.
Next
Thanks,
week.
Man.
Bye.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit StopGuardianAbuse.org.